Report of European Mission Tour, Elder L. Ray L. Christensen, L. Ray L. Christensen, Conference Report, April 1959, pages 12-15. I pray humbly, my brothers and sisters, that what I shall say may be appropriate. I have been so uplifted by that which has already been spoken from this pulpit this morning, that my heart is filled with gratitude for the goodness and blessings of the Lord, especially for the absolute testimony that I have of His divinity. Almost 2,000 years ago He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, and follow me." And again He said, "Let no man be afraid to lay down his life for my sake, for whoso layeth down his life for my sake shall find it again, and whoso is not willing to lay down his life for my sake is not my disciple." We can place ourselves in either category we wish. In my opinion, one of the noblest expressions of unselfish devotion and a willingness to give of oneself is found in missionary work. We believe that every Latter-day Saint who has the capacity to so do carries the obligation to share with others the truth of the restored gospel. The depth of this belief is adequately demonstrated by the more than 10,000 missionaries at home and abroad, full-time and part-time according to their calls, who are serving at their own expense in the missions of the world and in the stake missions. They answer the calls to serve without equivocation or hesitancy. It matters not one whit to which land or country or clime they may be assigned, even though it might require the learning of a new and difficult language, even though it requires personal sacrifice for him or his family or both. He goes forth and figuratively loses his life for that period of time in the hope that he may bring to others a newness of life and hope and understanding which may lead to salvation. Missionary service is not only a test of faith but a real test of character. This is seen in the remarks of a young missionary who said, "In the army I was forced to obey orders, but in the mission field I am given instructions and then placed on my honor. This has been to me one of the greatest tests in my life." Although a few months have passed since we visited your sons and daughters in the 10 missions of Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, Netherlands, North Germany, West Germany, Swiss Austria, France, and Great Britain, I wish to fulfill a promise and bring the greetings, not only of the missionaries, the mission presidents and their devoted wives, but also of many of the faithful members in the 14 countries that comprise those missions. In addition to our meetings with the missionaries in report and testimony meetings, I had the privilege of interviewing practically all of the nearly 1,200 who are laboring in those various missions. It was an arduous undertaking, but it was compensating and worthwhile to look into their handsome faces across a table and inquire about their work, their thinking and their faith, their living, and to ask about their parents at home and to receive almost without exception the assurance that they are living clean lives, that they are doing well as ambassadors of truth, that they know the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it has been restored, is true. Not only can you be proud of them but they, too, are proud of you, their families at home, and have deep concern about you. One young missionary from Canada reported, "My greatest moment came this morning. You see, my father is a baptized member, but he is inactive. He was not in favor of my coming on this mission, but this morning I received a Christmas card from him on which he wrote, 'I am proud of you, my son, and I wish you success on your mission.' This has been the best Christmas gift that my dad ever gave me." In Denmark, one of these fine young men said, "When I received my call, my grandfather was using tobacco. Then and there he said that he would quit, and he did. He never went to church much before I left, but now he goes regularly, and he has lately gone to the temple. Now the greatest hope that I have is that my dad will prepare himself to go to the temple with his family so that we can enjoy our family association forever as we now do," he said. "If my mission does nothing more than to bring my family to a realization that the gospel is the most important thing in their lives, it will have been worthwhile." It is true that parents live in their thoughts every day and almost every hour with their missionary sons and daughters. One young man from Springville said, "Every time my mother tells anyone that she has a son in the mission field, she can hardly keep from crying because she is so proud of me. She feels that I am filling a mission for two. You see, when my father received his call, he was financially unable to go. I am determined to give this mission the best I have, both for him and for myself." Working hand in hand with the missionaries from the Stakes of Zion, there are in each of these 10 missions a surprising number of local, full-time missionaries as well as part-time missionaries. The devotion of these young men and young women as well as their effectiveness are equal to that of our missionaries from America. When we met in Berlin in our conference, which was attended by nearly 600 members of the church, there were present a number from the east part of Berlin. Among them were 21 missionaries who were laboring under Brother Burkhardt, a counselor in the mission presidency. After the general meeting, we met with them and heard their testimonies and their reports. It touched our hearts to feel their faith, their spiritual strength, and their love of the gospel. I said to them in conclusion, "Remember that the brethren and the saints are praying for you." One of them raised his hand and stood up and said, "Brother Christensen, tell the saints and the brethren that we are praying for them." I thought that was wonderful to think that they would be concerned about our well-being. Directing the labors of these missionaries are the mission presidents who, along with their capable wives, are carrying out their heavy assignments with complete devotion. I pay my tribute to their unselfish and efficient service. In these 10 missions there are nearly 45,000 members of the church. I could see that the gospel is a compelling instrument in transforming the lives of those who accept it and who live it. One convert, a teacher in a university, put it this way, "It is like coming out of the darkness into the light. It is so consistent with reason, and it gives understanding and assurance which all men need. The faith of many is something to behold." In Heidelberg, Germany, a local district president stood before the pulpit with one arm gone, having lost it in the war. He formerly was a high officer in the SS. Then, he carried out the orders of the warlords for the destruction of men. But now, having been converted to the gospel, he stood before this group of saints, humbly, carrying out the wishes and the plans of the Lord for the salvation of man. A convert of a year or so, living in Hallein, Austria, who is a self-supporting woman, insists on paying 20% in tithing. When we talked to her, she said, "Why, I have been a member of the church only a short time, and I have missed out on many blessings. I feel that I can never repay the Lord for what I have received in finding the truth. Let me go forward with this program." My brothers and sisters, I felt a surge of interest amongst the people in those missions. Respect for the church and even admiration on the part of the people, generally, is evident. This has come not only because of a better plan of presenting the gospel and increased effectiveness of the missionaries, but also where new buildings of our own design have been erected. It is not difficult to see that the respect and the interest of the people, beyond that of curiosity, has increased, and a wider interest is manifested by many fine people. Where a public meetings were held in our own buildings, the attendance of friends and investigators was far beyond our expectations. 15 buildings were dedicated in these missions on this tour. I found that in place of mere tolerance there is an ever-increasing desire to recognize and to investigate, and I am convinced that an epoch of growth and progress is immediately before us in the various missions in Europe and Scandinavia. In practically every city, except in one mission where the state has not recognized this church as such, we were visited by polite, interested reporters who gave very good and honest publicity. 26 reporters attended a news conference in the city of Berlin and stayed for an hour and 15 minutes asking pertinent questions about the church. I was informed that very acceptable newspaper articles appeared in the press the following day. The presence of the Swiss and the London temples has had a very definite and noticeable effect upon the people in the area surrounding them and far into the other lands as well. These temples bring to Europe not only a newness to the landscape, but more importantly, they bring also a newness of thought and of purpose to the lives of thousands of people who know about them and their purposes. This newness of life's purpose is expressed in the words of a visitor to the London temple prior to its dedication. After the nature of the work to be done in the temple had been explained, members of the group were asked if they wished to comment or ask questions. One said, "I can say nothing. I'm overwhelmed because of the beautiful and desirable principles that have been revealed to me here today." People are still coming onto the grounds, feeling the influence of those sacred edifices and learning from the guides there the true purpose of life and of salvation. I was instructed, by the First Presidency, to encourage the members to engage in genealogical research. I did this to the best of my ability. I was pleased to note the willing response and the certain interest that was manifested on the part of the saints everywhere, and to find that now in almost every district there is a genealogical organization set up with men and women who have considerable understanding as to the procedures of genealogical research. I am happy to return in service to the church and to the Lord a little of that which I have received in such abundance. I am happy to bear my testimony. I know that Jesus is the Redeemer, the Savior of mankind. I know that the gospel has been restored according to the promise of the Lord through his prophets, and that Joseph Smith was the instrument in his hands, that all presidents of the church were and are prophets, seers, and revelators. I know that in due time of the Lord our testimonies will be vindicated, because in the words of another, "Truth like the sun permits itself to be obscured, but like the sun only for a time." May God bless us that we may be true and faithful. I pray, humbly, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.